Hello, and welcome back to the next episode of Main Character with me, your host, Andrea Marie Tita. Today, I'm so excited for this conversation. I am joined by Rachel Kraft. She's a somatic coach. She's a healer. She helps people with high anxiety. And I'm so excited that you're here today, Rachel. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad that we connected, and I'm just excited for our conversation today.
I know. It's so funny. I know we were talking about it before, but we connected on Threads, guys. So you just never know. Social media is so cool.
Yeah. It's funny because I don't really use Threads either. And we connected there and here we are. So thankful for it.
I know. Meant to be. I would love if you can kick off with where you're based, where you're from originally, if it's not where you're based, and a little bit about you to start.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I'm Ray. I am born and raised in New York. So right now I live in Long Beach. It's on the South Shore of Long Island in New York. This is where I'm originally from. And now I am a somatic coach and breathwork facilitator. I have a background in a few different areas, social work, higher ed. I also was in tech for a little bit. I'm somatic coach and breathwork facilitator, and I'm also a somatic therapist.
I love that. And can you talk through a little bit about what a somatic therapist is and a little bit about what exactly that means for anyone listening that might not know?
Yeah, absolutely. So somatics to me was pretty foreign until I also discovered it on my journey of really healing anxiety, grief, and perfectionism. And then I was kind of on this journey of, self-discovery, doing the traditional talk therapy, the mindfulness, the self-care. And it wasn't until I really had my first moment where I connected with my inner child, which we can also talk a little bit more about what that is. But that's when I discovered what somatic healing was, and I discovered what it felt like to be connected to my body. I think just being an athlete, I grew up an athlete. I played in college, soccer and lacrosse, and I was very competitive. I traveled the world playing soccer. If you're an athlete, the connection with your body is how hard can I push? How much injury can I play through? How can I take care of my body but not get injured? So this concept of actually listening to my body in a different way and hearing like the wisdom that the body holds was really eye-opening for me. And it really created so much transformation for myself with my journey with anxiety. So to answer your question, somatics means working with the body as a way of receiving information and processing and metabolizing all different past experiences, feelings, emotions, anything that might come up for someone.
Wow, I love that.
Yeah, and there's so much that I received from being an athlete, like so much of that has created who I am today. And at that time, it was such a big part of my identity that when I did decide to kind of hang up the cleats, quote unquote, I had to go on this journey of like rediscovering who I was and rebuilding my identity and getting to know myself in an entirely different way. And that is part of what brought me into the world of somatic healing.
Do you mind me asking how that started for you? Because I'm asking because I can relate to that so much. And I'll give a little bit of background and then I'll ask you that question too. But I went to law school and I had a lot of anxiety in my first jobs working in an office setting, all these things that you kind of like hold the energy in. And you kind of have this moment that you're like, I'm not in tune with my body. Like I need tools that will help me feel more at ease. And so I started meditation and breath work over 5 years ago now. Some days it's just 5 minutes, some days it's an hour, but I needed, like my body needed that practice. So I'm just curious what kind of triggered, like how did you have that moment, so to speak?
Yeah, thank you for sharing that too. That makes a lot of sense. I feel like those beginning moments, those life transitions in your 20s are like, oh, I can still feel them, you know, like, it's like, oh my God.
I'm in a conference room with all these people, you know, it's weird.
So throughout my life, anxiety definitely was a theme since I was very young, primarily around big life transitions, transitioning from like middle school to high school, or from like high school to college, or from college to after college, like those like bigger milestones, those transitions were challenging for me. And when I was transitioning from like after I finished undergrad and I was decided to go back to school for my master's in social work, because I knew I always wanted to help people. I just didn't know like what the context would be. So I decided to go back to school. I'd gotten my bachelor's in psychology. And in my first semester, I had someone in my immediate family pass away unexpectedly. And at the same time, about 3 weeks later, the guy that I was dating at the time for 3 years breaks up with me. And so I end up losing, it was my dad who had passed. I end up losing my dad. Ending this relationship. And my entire life was like nothing. It was totally different. It's like I went to sleep one day and I woke up the next day and I was like, am I in the Twilight Zone? What is going on?
Yeah.
And so my anxiety was like, you know, I was doing the things to manage it, but it went from being something that like I just could not manage any longer. And it really went to an all-time high. And that was really like this catalyst moment of getting really curious about grief, getting really curious about like spirituality, the other side, what happens when we pass, and anxiety. And it was kind of actually how I discovered breath work originally. And then breath work is what led me into somatic healing. So yeah, it's been a journey, but that was really my big aha, was really experiencing like deep loss unexpectedly.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. It's like, it's one of those things too that like never leaves. I mean, I haven't lost a parent, but like I lost my grandfather that I was really close with a couple of years ago. And it's like one of those things that when you have those bonds with people so deeply, especially like your father figure, it's, yeah, I can see how that can affect, like, especially being so young. So thank you for sharing that. I think if I were to ask a question that I think could help people that might be listening and might be curious about what we're talking about, when you think about like clients or people that can work with you or benefit from your services, like, it might not have to be the point that we were both at where we were just trying to function with this high anxiety or whatever it was, not to say we were both in the exact same spot, but you know what I mean?
Of course.
What do you typically see when people will approach you to work with you and learn more about the somatic breath work and coaching that you offer?
Yeah, great question. I feel like if I had to put it into kind of like two categories, one person that really approaches me is the female entrepreneur, someone that is looking to create a path for themselves in the world, sharing their message, sharing their gifts, sharing their vision in a way that is unique, because it's hard to do that in anywhere, but really navigate life outside of like a corporate 9-to-5 job, I think is challenging, especially when that's what we're used to. So that's kind of like one person that might come to me, and usually it's anxiety, it's self-expression, it's wanting to show up more authentically, take up more space. And then similarly, the other person that might approach me and I might support is someone that's working through like old programming, good girl conditioning, like be small, don't take up space, don't speak up at work, don't ask for the raise, don't set boundaries, take care of everybody else, but don't take care of yourself. Things like that, where they're kind of at this crossroads in their life where maybe they've actually been in therapy for a year or two, but they're looking to go like a bit deeper. They're like, there's something here, but I don't know what it is. And it's deeper and I want to get to the root of it. And then that's when they kind of are like, what do you do? Tell me what you do.
Yeah. No. And you made me think of like a couple of things when you were saying that, because I feel like I struggle with that too, as far as like the authenticity, especially online, because you want to come across, like, I hate to even phrase it that way, like I want to come across, but like I don't want to come across any other way than like me. It's a struggle, especially online when you don't know the person yet. So I could see how that would be beneficial. And then also, I had a podcast guest back in February that I think you would be very interested in either connecting with or seeing her content. Her name is Annalie Howling, and she talks a lot about that good girl conditioning and how we're all told to like stay small. That's definitely childhood learnings for myself as well. Like, just be good. Don't upset the apple cart. Don't make anyone think that you're, and of course I end up being like this loud, outspoken person now, but it took years, as I'm sure you can relate to, like, of being small, of having pick me energy, of wanting to be friends with people that didn't even deserve my energy. So it's interesting to start to tap into that. And yeah, I'd be interested to see how you work one-on-one too. But I think meditation can help open people up to that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. I feel like I completely understand what you mean with showing up on social media. And also for you yourself, like when you're creating, you want to share like the real you. Like, you don't want to fit yourself into like a different box to like get views or likes or make connections. Like, you want to connect with someone because you're sharing you. And then it's like finding that balance of sharing yourself authentically in a way that feels good for you and also comes off as authentic. So it's, I understand that journey.
Yeah, definitely. Cause it's like not just creating from I don't know if you struggle with this too, but like, I don't want to post just to post. So like, it's just hard because there's days you want to create and then there's days it just floods out of you. I could write a novel on what I'm posting about. So yeah, it's like the ebbs and flows, but it's also connecting with like people like you and like-minded individuals that are on similar journeys that you can kind of just have those open conversations with helps too.
Yeah, definitely.
But I did want to ask too, like, as far as your coaching business, which congratulations, by the way, I think I said it when we first started, but
yeah,
she has
so
like
much.
Over 70 episodes on her podcast. So we'll definitely tag it, check it out, and your practice and all of that. And I'm just curious, like, as being like the starting point of a podcast now too, like, is that because I started it to like want to express myself and use my voice and have a way of connecting and helping people. Was that sort of the reason behind the podcast for you too, or was it something different?
Yeah. So great question. Yeah, I'd say there was like two reasons. The first was I really wanted to have a space that was kind of mine, that was off of social media. I felt like just from a business perspective, I was getting very, intuition was getting very like clouded because there was like so much going on and I was just like taking in all this information and I was like, I want to still create, but like social media isn't it for me. This is what I was feeling when I first started my podcast. And I was like, well, having a podcast was something that was on my heart for like 3 years. Never in a million years would I think that I would be able to have a podcast. But not so much because of like the content of it, but more so because of my own like personal growth, which kind of leads me to reason number two, which was I really wanted to overcome that hurdle of being able to express myself, being able to articulate my ideas, to speak publicly, to share myself vulnerably. And it was a journey. I remember like the first like few episodes, I was like on the floor in my office, just laying there. I was just like sweating. I was just like, oh my God, it's released. And it's like, we even knew it existed.
First,
I don't know. But like, it was so nerve-wracking.
Oh my God. That first episode, you're like, publish, I think. No, I totally relate to that. I was like, and I went into the studio in Nashville, because I was like, I don't know what I'm doing, before I figured out like using a mic here. Similarly, and I was like, what am I going to talk about? And it's, do you have guests too, or do you just do the solos?
Yeah, so I do guests in waves. Like, what I'll do is typically I'll do a solo episode, and then maybe like twice a year or like once every quarter, I guess, I'll do like a wave of guests. So that's kind of how I do it. So kind of like batching, I guess, some guest episodes. Like, I really thrive with routine. And it's super hard to structure a full podcast, I find, on guest episodes, because like you're working with someone else's schedule. And I'm like, I like to record on Thursdays. So like, and there's like some logistics about it too. But I love having guests on. And I think it's really helpful to just share like other people's wisdom and ideas and visions with your audience. I think it's really nice.
Yeah, definitely. I find that, and it changes from month to month, but I find that my guest episodes do the best, at least so far, because I think it's just like having that connection and that juicy conversation. Like, there's only so much I can go into on my own. But I wanted to ask you too. I know that you talked a little bit about pivoting and going on and starting this new venture on your own. And I think it was 8 years ago you started coaching. Can you talk us through a little bit about that? Because that is so inspiring that you had this idea, tried this new thing, went out on your own, started your own business. And I think listeners can really benefit from hearing, like, how does that get from A to B?
Yeah. So around that same time of when I had lost my dad and I was moving through these waves of anxiety, grief, a lot of like emotional turmoil, a few years went by. That's when I discovered breathwork. And that's when I was like, I need to discover more about anxiety. And I had one session. I remember I was like, I had like a basement apartment in Long Beach and I'm sitting in the dark on my bed, like cross-legged. And it was like a phone call with this woman who was a somatic coach. And after the phone call, I had received myself a connection with my inner child, which I had read about it in like Gabby Bernstein books, but I had no embodied feeling or like understanding of what that was. And it was so visceral of a change for myself that the next week I signed up for a program to become a somatic coach. I did not know what business was. I got my bachelor's in psychology, my master's in social work.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even think I took a business course.
Yeah. You were just like, you felt it and you were like, yeah.
Very much just kind of exactly felt it, heard the call, answered the call. And it's been a journey ever since. So it's been building. I've been in my business part-time. I've been in my business full-time. I've been in my business part-time again. So I think it's just this ongoing thing that I'm letting evolve and grow over time. When I first started my business, I put a lot of pressure on myself. I had like that athlete mindset, and it was something that I really had to condition out of myself and learn that self-compassion and be patient. And there was a lot of learning that I had to do in the beginning. And then as time went on, again, I just continue to pivot. I just pivot and pivot and pivot, and I allow myself to begin again and begin again and begin again. And I think I'm just really dedicated to like the long-term vision and like the purpose of what I do, and wherever that wants to take me, I'm on for long for the ride. I'm like, take the wheel.
I love that. And I can relate to that so much. And you made me think of this podcast episode that I listened to. The podcast is called The Pivot, but their guest was Jay Shetty, who I'm sure you know and love. Like, goals. And I was listening to this a couple weeks ago. I was on a plane home and he was literally like, I never want to not be pivoting. And I was like, I feel that so deeply, because it's like, I'm sure you can relate to this too. Like, if you didn't go to that program to get your master's, you may not have been led to that version of yourself that ended up getting led to the somatic breathwork coach and all of these things. Like, I just truly believe that so deeply. Like, the more we pivot and just lean in and don't like release some of that pressure, because I do it too. I'm like, I moved, I don't think I told you this, but I moved to Nashville to write songs, and I still love music and I love writing, but I've pivoted. Like, it kind of, I still do it. Yeah. But I'm like, I actually get more joy out of connecting with people, having these conversations, doing the podcast. And it's like giving yourself the room. I don't know if you've felt this too, but like, the room to sort of allow your dreams to change or evolve. And it's hard. It's hard to be like, I changed my mind.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so inspired by your story. I need to hear more about this.
Oh my God.
Writing music and, oh my God, it's so good. And moving. Yeah. Yeah. I think
we will. For sure.
If there is one thing that I've learned, I guess it's probably in the past 2 years, like it's a recent lesson for me, is embracing the pivot, embracing the change, which for someone that has such a long history of anxiety and life transitions and change being a big trigger, I mean, this is just showing like personal growth for myself, because in the past, maybe I wouldn't have done that. And I think it's so, so needed. I love that quote by Jay Shetty. That sounds amazing. Like, keep pivoting, keep changing.
Yeah.
Let the good times roll. The better it gets, the better it gets, the better it gets.
Yes, I love that. And in your most recent podcast episode I listened to, there was just an energy about it too. And I want to call this out, because I'll link it for you guys to listen to as well. But you were saying, like, and I try and do this, and I'm not going to say it's easy for me every day, because it's not. But you were saying, like, how much you find the joy in those little moments in your mornings, whether it's with your husband, whether it's, I can't remember if it's coffee or matcha, whether it's sending a recipe back and forth with your mom and looking forward to seeing her, you know, and it's just like those little moments are everything, because that's being in gratitude, being present. And again, it's super hard for me on some days. I get in my head too, but the days I really embrace that and I'm present, like, the better it gets. I'll quote you. Like, it's so true.
Yeah, I think I know which episode you're referring to. Yeah, it's been such, that's also been a journey for myself as well. It's been like a big shift for me, and I would say in the past 6 to 8 months, of really witnessing myself. Like, I'm seeing myself a little bit clearer.
Yeah.
When that happens, you're able to take that pressure off of yourself. And by releasing that pressure, I've been able to access more joy and more creativity and more expression. And you mentioned writing songs. I've been doing it through writing and writing poetry and just like different pieces. Yeah. And that's become how I create content, is just by writing creatively rather than like just receiving the hit, receiving the download, the intuitive hit, and writing
than
like any other way of creating. So it's been, it's been really cool.
It's more, because I've noticed on your posts too, they come across very authentically. And I think it is because you're not trying, and I'm interpreting it from what you just said, but you're writing creatively in solitude. You're not like looking up trending posts. You're not looking up, and like, that's what's going to speak to the audience more.
Yeah.
It's just you. It's always just us showing up. Cause I've done both. I've done the whole like, oh, plug this into ChatGPT. And it's like, it's always better when it just comes off the cuff and like from you. So yeah, your content's awesome. And I can see why now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, truly. I appreciate that.
Because you can feel it too, especially being like, everyone that listens knows I'm woo-woo at this point, but like being energetic beings like we are, like the content and the people that I am drawn to, even online, it's so funny. Like, it really is the people that are in tune and are being their authentic selves. So yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I appreciate
the universe
that.
Knows.
Yeah, right. Like, here you go.
Yeah. Here's a person that you'll connect with. I love asking this question, and you can answer it one of two ways. So sometimes I'll ask whether you have like a dream collab to manifest, or if you're into manifesting, or if there's, I'll also ask this, like, if there's a direction in the next couple of years that you're like, oh, I can see my business going this way. Like, is there anything you're manifesting right now that you'd want to share? And if you don't want to, it's totally fine too.
Ooh, what a fun question.
I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. I went to a business retreat like 2 years ago now, maybe. And on one of the last days, they had us write like our biggest, like most ridiculous goals. Like, manifest times a trillion. Like,
yep.
And it was so fun, like sitting there. I think there was like 6 or 7 of us. Like, and each time someone would like go up, put their post-it on the wall, like read it, and we'd all celebrate. And so like my outrageous one is to be a guest on Jay Shetty's podcast.
I love that. I can see it.
So that's my like outrageous manifestation. We'll see. Maybe this will age well. We'll see and then in
we'll pull the clip up.
Right, exactly. In terms of like vision for my business, I will share that I am hosting a retreat in October. It's my first women's weekend retreat. So I've done mini retreats and workshops and all that fun stuff, but this is a weekend retreat. It's in upstate New York. And right now there are 4 spots available. So long-term vision is to have them filled, which is nice.
Yes.
Yeah. And I can share more about that too, if you'd like.
Yeah. And tell us a little bit.
And then I have a heart. I have a book on my heart. That's the other thing. So lots of manifestations happening.
I love that. I love that. And is it like poetry or more just like regular novel type book?
It's like poetry. Yeah. It's going to be like poetry meets like self-help. Maybe there'll be some like practices in there, some guided practices online, like things like that.
I love that. Well, we're manifesting all the things with you.
Thank you.
Yay. I love that. It was fun. I saw a post, I think it was today, and someone had written, it goes by so quickly, but someone had written, like, if you feel called to writing a book, like, it's one of the best things that you can do, even if you self-publish, because you're learning so much through the process, learning so much about yourself. I think that's incredible. So,
yeah. Thank you. I love that. It's funny because for a long time, I thought, like, when I'm, like, older, like, I kind of, like, romanticized it for, like, retirement. I'm going to, like, sit there by the fire and, like, write. Like, I kind of had this vision. And then over the past year, so much had shifted for me internally. Like, I just received so much shifts inside of me that all of a sudden, like, this vision for the book arrived. And I was like, oh, my goodness, I have this vision. It sped up, like, it's much sooner. So we'll see, but that's kind of...
You'll get the nudge.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And then, if you can share a little bit about the retreat for anyone that might be interested. I'm interested if I'm available.
absolutely. So it's the first weekend of October, October 2nd to October 5th. It's in upstate New York. It's a small group of women, so it'll be 6 women, which is nice. So if you're into like a smaller vibe, that's your jam, then it's the right place for you. We're going to be doing a lot of somatic breath work, which is what I facilitate, and sound healing. We're going to have a guest teacher come for a manifestation, yoga nidra, which is exciting.
My vibe.
We're going to be doing hiking. So we're doing one of my all-time favorite hikes in the Northeast area. And then we're doing another hike around a lake. And it's going to be in the fall. So fall foliage, like beautiful vibes. So a blend, to summarize, of like community with really cool women. The women that are coming together already are like awesome.
Yeah.
Healing vibes, breath work, sound healing, nervous system regulation, get in the body, quiet the mind, and then nature vibes, hiking, being in nature, having that connection. So
I love that. And it's so like not underrated, but I feel like I do it sometimes, like being in nature, like is the best thing we can do for ourselves and for our souls. And then like everything else you just mentioned is like chef's kiss to top it all off. But that sounds beautiful. Yeah. And congratulations. Cause I think like even having the courage to put something like that together, like I've always said this to him, like, I want to host a retreat. And it's like, but I'd be like scared. Like, and it's like, so I'm really inspired by you because doing it is like the hardest part.
I totally agree. It definitely takes some courage and some financial planning. Numbers aren't my thing. You got to like have all the spreadsheets and the budgeting. And so I'm learning as I go, which is really nice. And I'm excited for it. It's going to be really amazing. Like I said, the group of women that are coming together so far are like incredible. So I'm excited.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I will check it out and we'll tag the link too for anyone that's interested. That's amazing. And then
I wanted to ask you too. I like to ask this. I'm sorry, this is basically just putting you on the spot. So just let me know.
No, you're good.
I like to ask if there's advice or if there's a quote that really sticks with you, if there's something that you'd want to share with listeners to give them a little bit of encouragement. And you can do both advice or a quote, but anything that just like you live by.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that oftentimes we hear this quote of like, treat other people how you want to be treated. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, what if we like flip that around and we were like, treat yourself how you treat other people? Because a lot of the women that I work with are sensitive souls. These are like deeply compassionate women that are caregivers and like space holders and kind women that come into my world. Yep. And the ones that sometimes come into my world don't do that. they're not thinking of like, oh, I can treat my best friend with like so much love. But when I bump up against something that's challenging, like I don't give myself that love. And there's three things that I really come back to in my work around feeling whole and feeling the sense of wholeness. And it's being self-compassionate, trusting yourself, and building self-knowledge. So like knowing yourself and feeling connected to your knowing. Yeah, so I think if we kind of flip the script a little bit on that saying, it could be really like eye-opening for us.
I love that. And that is like, I was away last weekend with my best friend. She runs a snack food company and I was helping her out. And we had like a couple nights to have quality time together that we don't always get because she has a little girl now. So, you know, just time, special time that we got to like have those deep conversations over margaritas, of course. But we had these, moments that, and she asked the deep questions. I'm sure you have friends or people in your world that do this too. But she kind of just said to me, because I'm single and I'm dating and all of that. And I struggle in that area to open up, but she was kind of just like, in every other area of your life, like you're so like confident and open and all of this. So I'm sharing that because I liked the way you phrased it. Because sometimes like we don't see in ourselves like what your best friend sees. She's like, I don't understand. Like you have all this love to give. You're such a great person. And like, that's the one area that like I sometimes struggle to see, and I can show up in every other area of life in that way. So it's just interesting because I'm maybe not treating myself the best in that area. So you need people to like call you out too.
Absolutely. I think it's super common too. It's like we're not taught how to do that. Like we all have like a level of like resiliency, of course. Like maybe not everybody does, but I think there is like a flavor of resiliency. But to really like meet ourselves when in those parts that feel like sticky or crunchy or like not great, we push that all away. We try whatever we can do to like not feel the bad stuff. And like, I'm talking about like shadow work and all that stuff. And I do it as well.
Yeah.
And it's like through really building that safety of in your body and in your mind and in your experience will open you up to like more ways to metabolize that feeling. And then you can be more open on the other side of it and be more expressed, be more authentic, and let the protector parts chill.
Is there, you made me think of something too. I have two questions for you now. Is there a couple of, I don't want to say like tips, because I don't think like healing work involves giving tips, but like, are there a couple of tools for someone that's like starting out and listening, and maybe they haven't even done any sort of meditation, or maybe they're like, how do I get in tune with my body? Like, are there a couple of things that you feel like they could start with to start tapping in?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big fan, especially in the beginning, of journaling, of writing, of stream of consciousness writing, like get it all out on the page. Let the mind have a place to go. It's not bad or wrong that our mind is active and sometimes doesn't treat us the best. Like give it a space to be. That way you can see what, you'll have more awareness around what's going on for what's coming up for you. Honestly, I'm a huge fan of like Insight Timer. I use Insight Timer all the time. It's like one of my favorite tools. I'm pretty sure there's a free version, And on there, you can go in and you can type in anything in the search and something will come up. So if inner child work interests you, like if you're trying to really feel like a very strong connection to yourself and you feel like you have the capacity to do that independently, I would suggest going on Insight Timer and searching inner child healing. You'll probably find a course, a few meditations, a great place to start. And then a third place, I always say breath work. I think a lot of us have like a very active mind and breath work will allow that mind to quiet. And once that mind shuts off, it's like, oh, it's like bliss. It's like the mind is sleeping. Yes.
I do Kundalini is the method that I do meditation. And a lot of the breath work is like very active. So sometimes I'm like, I'm too tired to even, like your mind has to shut off because you're like breathing so deeply.
Yeah.
But it's good.
So Kundalini is definitely like activating breathwork meditation. I love Kundalini. The form that I teach is called somatic breathwork, trauma-informed somatic breathwork. And so it's a little bit different than Kundalini in the sense that it's really based in the body and moving at your pace. So it might not be as activating as Kundalini, which is great. So it's like you could do both, you could do either. I always say, as long as you're connecting with your breath, like that is the portal. Like the breath is the portal. So whichever way you want to do that, awesome.
Yeah. Yep. No, 100%. And have you done like meditation in front of a red light? I've been adding that lately. I'm like, this is a whole other world. It's like self-care is just everything, I feel like.
Yeah. It's like that extra touch of like regulation and you're like, oh, I feel so good now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you for sharing that. I'm going to check that out. I don't think I've tried Insight Timer before, so I'll definitely look into that. And obviously, if anyone that's listening wants to go deeper, you can reach out to Ray as well. And my other question for you, because I could tell by just our conversation so far, do you have like self-love rituals or ways that you know you're loving yourself well, some things that you do, and if there's anything you'd want to share about that?
I think that at this point, I have enough mindfulness around my emotions. I don't think I always was that way. Now I have enough awareness around them. And emotions are like different feelings can be challenging for me, especially if it's something like anger or like sadness is even hard for me. So I think when it comes to self-love rituals, for me, it's really about just like meeting myself in those moments with compassion when I don't feel my best. Because when I feel my best, it's kind of easy. It's like, yeah, of course I love myself. Like I'm great. Like the sun is out, I'm bike riding. Like in those moments, 100%. It feels more accessible. But in the moments where it's hard, I think that's where my like self-love ritual comes into play because it's hard. So the way I meet myself in those moments, writing, breath work, calling a loved one, getting support if I need it, whether it's like a therapist or a coach or a healer, really leaning into like my supports. I think that's really impactful for me. And then also like sometimes it's about getting back to like the basics too. Sometimes it's like, not this like super deep thing. And it's like, okay, well, did I drink enough water today? Like, did I eat breakfast and lunch? And did I take my vitamins? Like sometimes, did I get enough sleep? Like sometimes it's not this like big thing. It's just like, yeah, I need like 8 to 10 hours and maybe I got like 4. And that's probably not going to be the most resilient day for me. So meeting myself with compassion in those moments.
I love that so much. And no one said anything like that on the podcast yet. Cause I like to ask that question. I try and remember to ask it because when I started the podcast a year ago, I sort of didn't know where it was headed. And now it's become like self-love is sort of the overarching theme. So I've never heard someone articulate it that way. So I really appreciate that. Like sometimes self-love is just having compassion and meeting yourself where you are. And I relate so much to both of the emotions that you said you struggle processing because anger is one for me too. Like it kind of, I don't know if it does it to you like similarly or how it affects you, but for me, like I notice that I get
frustrated that I am angry. And it kind of, it like triggers in me that I'm like, did I not meditate enough? Like, am I not there yet? Like there yet, whatever that means. We're never going to be fully healed. We're always on this journey. But I find that I get like so like taken aback that I can't handle it.
Absolutely.
It's weird.
Yes. We call it the double arrow. It's like you're shot with one arrow, which is the anger. And then you shoot yourself with another arrow because you're mad that you're angry. You're like angry about your anger. It's like, why are we shooting ourselves with double arrows over here? Like, what are we doing?
Yes, that it's exactly it. And you kind of like, you can't shake it. You kind of just have to feel it, to your point. Like there's not really, you can call it, yeah, definitely the support, like you said. And even like, this sounds so silly, but you made me think of it with like water. I'm like, I'm just going to go get my favorite ingredients and like make a healthy dinner and like put on a rom-com and like, that's it. Sometimes self-love is a rom-com and dinner.
Yes. Oh my God. Sign me up for that. Like any day of the week, eat dinner or homemade meal with like maybe a treat or something and a rom-com.
Yes.
I'm in.
Chocolate. Like, yeah.
So good.
This has been so inspiring. And thank you for just sharing so honestly. I know these conversations, like it's so vulnerable and I really appreciate it. And I have family in upstate New York. So I'll have to somehow get to Long Beach. Is that Long Island?
Yeah, South Shore of Long Island, yeah. Long Beach. Yeah, if you're ever in town, definitely let me know. We can totally grab a coffee, hang out. Yeah, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much just for being like a great space holder and like hearing your story. I'm so inspired by what you're doing. And so thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And thank you for bringing main character energy and helping us learn about somatic breath work. I really didn't know too much about it. So this has been super inspiring and I look forward to continuing our connection.
Me too. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And then can you just mention where everyone can find you? And I'll, of course, link it too. But
yeah, of course. So I'm mainly on Instagram, on social media. So that's at Rae, the Somatic Coach, R-A-E, the Somatic Coach. And I have my website, rachelecraft.com, and then my podcast, Somatic Healing for Wellness-Focused Women. So those are kind of like the three places that I jam at.
Amazing. And seriously, guys, I'm not just saying it. Check out our content. It is so uplifting, so inspiring. If you want to go on the retreat, it sounds beautiful. And yeah, thank you, Rae. I really appreciate your time.
Yes. Thank you so much, Andrea, for having me.
Yeah. And as always, guys, I'm sending you all the love and light in the world, and we'll see you soon. Bye.